Amen. We've got some really good news. And, you know, February at Bethany Church is Missions Month, a time we emphasize how God is using us to take the Great Commission, the good news of the gospel all around the world. And the highlight comes up at the end of this month. This week is our Global Impact Celebration services, Wednesday and Sunday. And what are we celebrating? Well, we celebrate how God is using us and what he's doing through us to fulfill his great commission in the world. We celebrate being a local church that has a global impact. And we believe that Jesus is the only hope of the world, and the church, the local church, is God's only plan for accomplishing his purposes, for doing his will in the world. That gives us really an all-important mission and purpose as a church. And as a church, then we have this message of the hope of Jesus Christ. And so we value missions here at Bethany Church. So what we say is that we'll go anywhere to reach anyone because everyone's life is better with Jesus. Everyone's life is better now and for all eternity with Jesus. And when we receive that great commission, we try to have a great commitment to the great commission that Jesus has given us. His last words and command to the church were to go. In every one of the Gospels, in the book of Acts, that commission is given to us. We read it in Mark's Gospel in Mark 16, verse 15, where Jesus says, go into all the world and preach the gospel to all creation. All the world, to all people, everywhere. Or Acts 1:8, where Jesus at his ascension told the church and tells us, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you, and you will be my witnesses. You'll testify, talk about me, tell others about me in Jerusalem and all of Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. That's the commission that he's given us. And so the local church has received this great commission, so it's our responsibility to take that gospel to the ends of the earth, starting right there in our own homes, families, neighborhoods, communities, reaching all the way around the world. Now, this is how we do it here at Bethany Church. We want to, first of all, top of your outline, if you have your notes this morning, is that we prioritize missions, that this is important for us. It's one of our values. It's important for us to realize we have a stake and a responsibility in the Great Commission. Not only do we prioritize missions, then we also personalize missions. And this is the way that when we bring in all of our missionaries, now this becomes personal to us. We build relationships. We start partnerships. And missions becomes very personal for us. So we prioritize and we personalize missions. And so in this Global Impact Celebration, I want to remind you, we have four big goals. The first one is that we want God to be glorified. And so we worship him just as we've done this morning. We'll do it Wednesday. We'll do it Sunday. We always want God to receive the glory, to be worshiped. Second, we want our vision individually, personally, and as a church to be enlarged. And we want to see what God can tell us that he wants to do through us, that maybe we think that we've never have done that before. We can't even do that. It's too big. But we want our vision to be enlarged. And thirdly, we want lives to be changed. We want to see lives changed. We want to see young people, retired people, making commitments, doing something they've never done before. Their life could be dramatically changed. And we hope and pray, see it every year, and want to hope and pray we see it again this year. Their lives will be changed. And then fourthly, we want to see resources, finances committed to the cause of Christ and to the Great Commission. And so when you got your worship bulletin this morning, you should have also received inside there a commitment card like this. All right, so just wave it at me, all right? Just to let me know that you've got it. Creates a little breeze because we want everybody to have one of these commitment cards for you and for your family. This is our Global Impact Celebration commitment card for 2019. And part of a Global Impact Celebration is this commitment to the Great Commission. And there is a faith commitment and a life commitment. It all culminates next weekend. And we want you to take this card, and we want you to be praying about your commitment. You may already have made your commitment. You may already know it. You can give us that card now. You can take the week and bring it back next Sunday. Or maybe you need more time. Whenever that you make that commitment, we just give back that card to us, and that helps us then know who's making commitments, who's planning, and how we can partner with our missionaries. But what I want to talk to you about for a few minutes this morning is what it means to make a faith commitment. Now, a faith commitment is simply this commitment or this promise is made by faith that as God provides, that I commit to give above and beyond what my tithe and regular support to my local church, I give above that to the cause of missions. And so that's what it says right there on this commitment card, my faith commitment. By faith, depending upon God, I'm indicating below the amount I'll give to our annual world missions budget. I understand this to be a voluntary love commitment to the Lord, and I'll never be asked for payment. I also understand that my faith commitment gives are over and above my regular tithe to the church. And so we give to our church, and then as the Lord provides extra income, or we just make that commitment, we're going to give extra. We give above and beyond that to the cause of missions. Now, our goal every year for our faith commitments isn't a number amount, a monetary amount. Our goal is 100% participation by everyone who considers Bethany Church to be your church. And we want everyone to be involved in the Great Commission. And to do that by making a faith commitment. It doesn't really matter the amount, but it does matter whether or not you are part of that. And so you're giving to the cause of Christ. If you're not giving to your local church, you're not regularly tithing, we challenge you then to start there, because we give 10% of everything that comes to Bethany Church. We tithe that to our mission partners. And then above and beyond that, as the Lord provides for you, that you'll do that. Just one simple way that Donnell and I do this over the years is we make a faith commitment. And then during the course of a year, that one way that as a pastor, I get a little extra income. It's through honorarium, speaking engagements, funerals, weddings, and people are very generous. And we use that to make our faith commitment. What's interesting, we've done this for years. But the time that we started making that commitment, it's amazing how that amount just gets larger and larger and larger. And people are very generous. And I think that God works in their hearts. And as we're faithful to give, that we make our commitment to do it that way. But what the Bible teaches us is that we're all called to be missionaries. All of us are His witnesses. We are His missionaries. It's by our testimony, by our faithful witnesses wherever we are and wherever we go, that we take the gospel. But along with that, we are called to support those who are called to go to places that we can't go, to missionaries who go to different parts of the country, even go to different parts of the world to take the good news of the gospel. And so what I want to remind you this morning and want you to remember is that God chooses to do the work of missions through the giving, through the financial support of faithful followers, or through His church. This is just how God has decided that He's going to do His plan. That as He sends missionaries to go take the Word of God and take the gospel, that they are to be supported by the giving of faithful believers and His church. That has always been God's plan. You can go in the Old Testament and you see it, for example, in Elijah. God sent the prophet Elijah to Sidon, and then He commanded a widow of Sidon, there to provide for Elijah. You know, God called Nehemiah to rebuild the walls of Jerusalem, and then He had a Persian king pay for it. But get this. When God sent His own son to this world to do the work of missions in this world, He chose to provide for it through the faithful support of others. I don't know if you've ever seen it, but you know, you can read over in the book of Luke, and it says in Luke chapter 8 that Jesus was traveling from town to town, village to village, and he was proclaiming the good news of the kingdom of God, that he's doing his ministry. He had his 12 disciples that were called with him, and then beyond that, he had other followers who were part of, you might say, this entourage that now were traveling with Jesus. And Luke tells us that there were some women who were part of that group, that traveling band of missionaries with Jesus. And there was Mary Magdalene, and there was Joanna. Now, Joanna's interesting. Joanna was the wife of Chuza. Now, Chuza was Herod's business manager, the manager of his household. He's a Gentile, but this is his wife, Joanna, has become a follower of Jesus, not even a Jew, but a Gentile. And she's someone of means and support. There was Susanna, and there were many others. And it says in verse 3, these women were helping support them out of their own means. I don't know if you ever really have seen it before, thought about it, but here's Jesus. God sends his son into the world, and now he is providing for his son in the ministry through others, particularly women, to provide, to support financially, to make that possible. And you know, he never changes. He hasn't changed his plan. You know, when the Apostle Paul then begins to take the gospel as the missionary to the Gentiles, he's supported by Christians and churches. For example, there's the little church at Philippi, the Philippians. They were extremely poor. They were under persecution. They were experiencing difficult times. And yet, this little church supported the Apostle Paul. Paul says in 2 Corinthians 8, he says, now, brothers and sisters, I want to tell you, Corinthians, about the grace that God has given the Macedonian. Now, Macedonia is Greece, in modern-day Greece. Philippi is in Greece. He said, I want to tell you about this church at Philippi, for example. This church at Philippi, in the midst of very severe trial. I mean, this wasn't an easy time for them. Out of severe, intense trial, their overcoming joy and their extreme poverty. Literally, the word says bone-crushing poverty. They didn't have it to give. They needed it. Yet Paul says, that all welled up in rich generosity. Don't let the devil sell you a lie that you have to have a lot of money, extra money, almost any money to be generous. What I've learned is I'm much more generous with imaginary money than I am with my real money. I just imagine what I would do if I could win the lottery. I'd be so generous. Nobody can be more generous than me with my imaginary money. But then I'm stopped and reminded. The Lord just almost speaks to me. He said, Randy, how generous are you with your real money? Oh, well, Lord, I don't have a lot of real money. Generosity isn't based on imaginary money. It's based on real money. And there's no reason for anyone not to be generous. And so Paul is supported by them. More than they were even able to do, somehow they were able to do it. What he's telling us is that everyone, everywhere, regardless of circumstances, is invited to share in the blessing of God's great mission. Everyone can be part of it. And so in the little letter, the little book of Philippians in your New Testament, Philippians chapter 4. I invite you to turn there in your New Testament. Here is the Apostle Paul, a missionary. He is under house arrest, most likely in Rome. And this little church at Philippi that has supported Paul periodically and occasionally in the past from the beginning of his ministry, now 10 years later, has sent a gift to Paul. They're able. They've got a gift. They send a messenger by the name of Epaphroditus to take this missionary offering to the Apostle Paul. They take it to Paul. It meets Paul's needs. Paul then, before Epaphroditus goes back, he says, I want to send a missionary thank you note. And he writes the greatest missionary thank you letter ever. It ends up right up here in our New Testament. And what Paul does is gives all of us now, as part of the church, the right perspective about the gospel and giving, about this relationship between missions and money. And what Paul gets right down to, he's talking about the business of the Great Commission, of sharing the gospel. And so what I want to share with you this morning are four simple things about our giving or your giving to missions. So here's the first one. Our giving to missions must continually be renewed, revived. That's why every year, regularly, we have an opportunity now to renew our giving to missions. And we make a new faith commitment. And we renew it, we revive it. So this is what Paul says in verse 10 of Philippians 4. Paul says, I rejoice greatly in the Lord that at last you have renewed your concern for me. You see, the gift comes. He says, you've renewed your concern for me. Indeed, you've always been concerned. He's not saying you weren't concerned, now you weren't, and now you are concerned, but he says, indeed, you were concerned, but you really had no opportunity to show it. So Paul begins by saying that he's rejoicing greatly at the reception of their gift, that it is an encouragement to him as much as a financial support to him. There's a church there that cares about me. These are believers. And I know they don't have a lot of extra money. They don't have any extra money, but they're sacrificing. They want to be part of what God's doing. And they want to be part of the ministry and supporting that. And they send that gift. And it's been some time, most likely, since they've given anything to help Paul. It's estimated that maybe the last time that they were able to send support to Paul had been 10 years. But now, 10 years later, here comes this gift. And it's not that they weren't concerned, that they just maybe didn't have the opportunity. It may mean that they just weren't able, maybe not that they weren't able to give, but maybe they weren't able to get it to Paul. Or maybe they just weren't aware of what the need was. But whatever it was, whatever happened, they are now able and aware. So I think what Paul is telling us today is that in addition to our giving week in and week out, or however you give to God through your church, as you give as you're paid, as you give regularly, some weekly, some every 2 weeks, some every month, as you make your tithes, there's the work of the ministry that continues on in the church that is to be consistent and regular. That along with that, there is to be consistent and regular missionary giving. And that's why we have faith commitments as part of our Global Impact Celebration. It's time that we renew our concern and that what we give to missions, we give to missions that this is what we know that we can be part of it. You know, when we give to missions, this is what it helps me do. It really helps me to take the focus off of myself and to put it on someone else. That's what giving does in general. But particularly as we give our faith commitments, and I give the faith commitment, I begin to focus on what God's doing in other parts of the world. I get to be part of that. I heard a little story about a very wealthy man that was, he just had this miserable disposition. And so he decided that he'd go see a counselor to talk about it. So the counselor led the man over to a window in his office, and he asked him just to look out the window down there at the street below, and he says, tell me, what do you see? And the man responded, well, I see people. So then the counselor led him over to a mirror on the wall there in his office, and he had him look into the mirror, and he said, now, tell me what you see. Well, the man just sort of shrugged and said, well, I see myself. And then the counselor wisely explained that a mirror is nothing else than a piece of glass that has a little bit of silver that covers it. Then he said, no sooner than a little silver is added, and you cease to see others, and you only see yourself. And I hope you'll remember that. I looked in the mirror this morning, and I was reminded of that. Once you add a little silver, it just begins to take the focus off others, and all you can begin to see yourself. And as you give that to help spread the gospel all around the world, that then helps you take the focus off yourself and to see others. And so then Paul says to these Corinthians that in 2 Corinthians 2, 8 and 7, he says, since you excel in everything, he says, you're excellent in all you do, in your faith, in your speech, in knowledge, in complete earnestness, and in the love that we have kindled into you. Paul says, don't miss this one thing, that as you excel in your faith, see to it that you also excel in this area of grace giving. And grace giving is giving beyond your ability. It's giving then as a faith promise. And so our giving to missions must continually be renewed and be revived. But secondly, our giving to missions teaches us how to be content. And so Paul goes on in verse 11. He says, now I want you to know that I'm not saying this because I'm in need. He says, for I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances. What Paul's doing, I think, is trying to be careful that in his gratitude that he's not being perceived as now wanting to take advantage of their generosity to get another gift out of them. He says, I want you to know that I've learned to be content. I know what it is to be in need. I know what it is to have plenty. I have learned this secret of being content in any and every situation. Paul says, whether I'm hungry or whether I'm fed, whether I'm living in plenty or whether I'm in want. And then he says in verse 13, which you do know this verse, Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength. Almost a universal favorite verse of many Christians, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength, lifted out of the context. But when put in the context, what Paul says, I can do all things through him who gives me strength, I can learn to be content with whatever I have, whatever the situation, whatever the circumstances, I can sacrifice. It's in the context of giving that Christ is sufficient. I don't get my contentment from material possessions, that Christ is sufficient, that I can be generous regardless of the situation. And that's what Paul says. This is contentment. And this is what giving does for us. Giving to missions does for us. It teaches us to be content. And so it says in 1 Timothy 6:6, where the Apostle Paul said, but godliness with contentment, well, that's a great gain. Contentment. Or look what it says in Hebrews 13:5. Keep your lives free from the love of money and be content with what you have. That's kind of hard. I don't hardly remember the last time I was really content with what I had. Keep your life free from the love of money. Be content with what you have because God said, I'm basically enough. I'm never going to leave you. I'm never going to forsake you. I'm always there. So he's telling us here that it's really not about the amount. It's about our attitude when it comes to stewardship. And this is what I want to remind you. As you pray about the faith commitment that you make, there'll be an amount that you're going to pray about. But I'm going to tell you what is even more important than that amount that God is concerned about for you and for me is our attitude and the attitude in which we do it. For in 2 Corinthians 9:7, it reads that each of you should give what you've decided in your heart to give. And so that's what I'm challenging you. Give what you've decided to give in your heart, considering as you pray about the Lord lead you, not reluctantly, not feeling the pressure, not under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. And so I've tried to grow more cheerful in my giving. But this word literally means hilarious. And I try to think that this is ridiculous what I'm doing right here. And to be, well, to be cheerful about it, to laugh about it here. And as you do that, that's the attitude that comes from that. Now here's the third thing that your giving to missions will do, and that it should be intentional. It should be intentional. So Paul says in verse 14, he says, "Yet it was good for you to share my troubles." It's an interesting, what he says, right? It was good for you to share. The word literally means the fellowship, the idea of partnership, that you realize that when you give, and you give to missions in particular, that you now are sharing in those troubles, as Paul says, and those struggles with the, you become part of that missionary's ministry. He says, it was good for you to share my troubles. Moreover, as you Philippians know, in the early days of our acquaintance with the gospel, when I set out from Macedonia, he says, I remind you, not one church shared with me in this matter of giving and receiving. Not one church. I just took out. I was a tent maker. I was going. And what he uses here, when he talks about this matter of giving and receiving, these are words that are taken right from the financial world. It's a business transaction, giving and receiving. It's a transactional. You give, receive, back and forth it goes. And this matter of giving and receiving, except you. The Philippians had been there from the beginning with Paul. You're like our first church. You stayed here. Even when I was in Thessalonica, you sent me aid more than once when I was in need. And so they had been intentional in their giving as they were able, as they are aware to do it. And Paul says your gift was needed. It was appreciated. And it let me know that I wasn't all alone. You know, when a missionary gets a gift, sometimes they'll realize in the moments of great discouragement and attacks against the evil one against them, there may come a gift in. And that just reminds them that they're not all alone, that people are praying for them and you are giving to them. And so after 10 years, they give a gift now that comes to Paul. Paul's going to need that. And they share in that partnership with him. You know, I was just reminded of something I'm thinking about this week. And, you know, and Robert and Judy Bryan are members of our church. Robert, Judy, y'all here this morning? Where are you at, Robert? Hey, stand up, Robert. Or Judy's right. Go ahead, stand up, Judy. You know, Robert and Judy, Brian, longtime members of our church, they just retired from international missions after 50 years of missionary service. Yeah, 50 years. That's remarkable. And they're members of our church. So, Several years ago, I was looking through some old minutes, looking some of in the history of our church. It was in June of 1968. They were appointed to the field in 1968. June 1968. Bethany Church wasn't even 5 years old yet. One of the first items of business that Bethany Church voted to give monthly missionary offerings to Robert and Judy Bryan. Those missionary offerings soon became budget gifts, along with your own individual commitments in support of them, which means for 50 years, we have partnered with them and supported them. I think that's pretty awesome. It was intentional giving for 50 years. And we want to continue with missionaries in the future as we give, intentionally giving to them. I love what it says in 1 John 3:17. It says, if any one of you has material possessions and sees a brother or sister in need but have no pity on them, how can the love of God be in that person? Dear children, let us not love with words or speech, but with actions and truth. You know, words are important, but we come along then with tangible expressions of that. But here's one more thing that I'd really want to share with you, and I close with this, that your giving to missions will be honored and rewarded by God. This is no insignificant thing. This is an important thing. I want to be sure you understand this and know this. Listen to what Paul says. Now, Paul says, I want you to understand, Paul says to this soldier, not that I desire your gifts. Now, he needs their gift. He says, I'm not doing this so you'll give me more. What I desire is that more will be credited to your account. And this is what I'm telling you as your pastor. I want you to give to your church and to missions. We do need it. But ultimately, what I'm concerned about, I want more credited to your account. It's strictly financial world terms that he's using, that he wants them to understand this. And this is the picture that he paints. I receive full payment and have more than enough. He says, your gift is sufficient. I'm amply supplied. I've received from Epaphroditus the gifts that you sent. They are a fragrant offering, acceptable sacrifice, pleasing to God. And another favorite verse of most Christians, and my God will meet all your needs according to the riches of his glory in Christ Jesus. This is what I want you to see here, that Paul's careful not to insinuate he's wanting more from them, but he informs them about this business of giving. He says, I want this to be credited to your account, that there is benefit and blessing that comes with giving. It is a God-pleasing, fragrant aroma to God when you give. And I stop and I read those words in Philippians and I think, I bet there's times I've given and it stinks in God's nostrils. That it hasn't really been what he wanted me to do. It hasn't been faithful. It hasn't been generous. And I pray that every time that I give, that this would be a pleasing sacrifice. But I want to, this is what, credit to your account. Jesus talks about it. He says, when we give, we're laying up treasures in heaven. Now, he's just not throwing around preacher's words there. We're laying up treasures in heaven. Paul talks about, I want it credited to your account. And you'll be rewarded in this life and on earth and in heaven for eternity. For on earth and in eternity. So this is what I want you to see. In my imagination, as Paul talks about it, Jesus talks about, the Word of God talks about, there is some kind of bank in heaven. I think churches have accounts. I think there is a Bethany church account. And there's being credited to our group account things that we give as a church. But part of that means there also, that we'll also share in, that we'll have shares in that in eternity as a church. There's also your individual giving account that is there. I call that your IGA. It's your individual giving recount. And what Paul says, I want you to do this so in your church account, in your individual account, there will be credited to your account. Let me ask you, and I'm close with this, and just give me a second here. How many of you ever heard of Joe Green? Wait, not mean Joe Green. Some of you think, not mean Joe Green, not the football player. I'm talking about nerd Joe Green. Anybody? Okay. Let me see the hands. How many of you have heard of Mark Zuckerberg? Everybody's hands. Well, nerd Joe Green and Mark Zuckerberg were early college roommates at Harvard. And so in their spare time, as they were sort of nerdy and bored and think a little bit twisted, they came up with the idea. And I think Zuckerberg came up with the idea, but Green was helping him. They were going to make this kind of hot or not website. And they were going to begin comparing co-eds. We want to know which one's hot, which one's not. They even compared them, was rather mean, sometimes with farm animals. And so they created that little website. It was called FaceMash. Well, it didn't take long. They got in a little bit of trouble. They got in a lot of trouble. They were threatened with expulsion from Harvard. Now, Zuckerberg, he asked Joe Green to help him with a new idea that he had. He's going to call it Facebook. Now, Joe's dad, who was a teacher and professor, was already a little upset with Joe, and he just told his son, he really discouraged him from being involved in anything else with Zuckerberg. He reminded him, son, you are at Harvard, all right? That after all, you're at Harvard, you should stop all of this foolishness and have nothing to do with it. And old Joe took his dad's advice. Had Joe not listened to his dad and joined up with Zuckerberg, he thinks he probably would have had about a 5% share in Facebook. And today, he'd be worth close to $15 billion with a B, dollars. Old Green says that Zuckerberg likes to make fun of my dad for this. He said, you know, me and my dad, we're still pretty close. This is what I just kind of imagine. You know, you move on from that, but I wonder if Mr. Green had known what the future of Facebook was and going to be, would he have told his son, hey, you get involved in that and you take it? I think he would. I think he'd have done that. Every time that, you know, I sort of take a little look at Facebook, I kind of think about old Joe Green and the fortune he missed out on. And I also think about this, that I've given the opportunity to invest in the kingdom of God, and I've been told and guaranteed by the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords that anything that I give will be returned to me 100-fold. He says, I'm guaranteeing to you a 10,000% on your return. And I find it important for me to tell you, don't miss that opportunity. You think $15 billion is bad to miss out on. How about for all eternity? You miss out on what those returns could have been. And so every year I do what you've probably done. I'm in tax season, so I take all my financial statements, I lay them out. I look at, you know, my W-2, I look at my tax return, I look at my little bit of retirement that I've got there, and that was really difficult this year. I also lay beside that the most important financial document that I've got. That is my contribution statement. And that's where I look to see what kind of investments did I make in the kingdom of God this past year with my giving. Did it go up? Did it go down? Why is it different? Why is it not more? How could it be more? Because I don't want to miss out on the greatest investment opportunity for all of eternity. And that's why Jesus said, give and you will receive. And don't back away from that. Don't try to soft pedal it. Don't try to change it. Jesus said, give, and I won't forget it, and God will reimburse you 10,000 times on top of that. Trust him. Your gift will be turned in full, pressed down, shaken together. There's going to be room for more. Give. I want it credited to your account. And so I'm going to ask you to bow with me as we pray. I'm going to pray about that, but the first thing is you have to have an account that is there. And maybe you don't have an account that's there because you've never made that decision to receive Christ as your Savior. So I'm inviting you this morning, give your life to him before you give anything else to him. And I'm going to be right down at the front, going to pray with you, answer any questions you have about that. But Father, we stand on the verge of the greatest opportunity of our lives to give our lives to you and to give everything of our lives after that to you. And I pray that we'll continue as a church and as individuals to be faithful to pardon her in this ministry of taking the good news, the gospel, to all the world. Pray for our missionaries as they come in. And Father, as needs arise to us, you'll challenge us. But Father, I pray today that as the good news goes out, that you'll touch lives today and change lives today. And it's in Jesus' name we pray.